person. And here we go. So I also have a warm cup of tea in my hands. I'm just going all out. Okay. I don't have boots on, just in case you want to know. All right. So Diane says, what are your thoughts on weighted vests? Love them, but really important that you get specific with why are you wearing one or what would you want from it? What do you think the purpose is of it? And then I can answer potentially better. So anybody have a question about weighted vests? And if we get more specific, why get one? What do you want it for? What do you think it will do for you? Then I can get a little bit more specific on it. I will tell you this, volunteering, that like you, I will do things on a monthly basis and do a month-long challenge just as a way to refresh, not necessarily a dramatic weight loss effort, but something to pay attention to for another 30 days, just to kind of look at maybe I want to tune that up. And maybe it's I want to focus on glutes or I want to do pull-ups or I want to do something else. So I am this month doing a weighted vest challenge. And really, it's very minimal. So it's a lot of ease and latitude, and it makes it easy to be successful. And that's really important. So it's 10 minutes a day of walking with a weighted vest, and I'm usually doing it inside. And the part of the reason is in exchange for the fewer steps that I'm probably getting during winter, especially today. So I don't know what negative two maybe started, might have gone all the way up to five today. I am calculating how many times Moses has to go outside. That's how bad it is. Like, if we strategically place them, then we have fewer times we have to go and do that. But that, let's say I was going to walk for 10 minutes otherwise. If I'm walking for 10 minutes with a weighted vest, there's more metabolic cost, there's more energy expenditure. Is there more bone density? Not enough to matter. So if you're wearing the weighted vest in order to increase your bone density, I highly doubt you're getting much benefit. If you are lifting weights as heavy as you safely can instead for that 10 minutes, far more beneficial. If you could do jump training for 10 minutes, far more beneficial, and you don't actually need to do 10 minutes of jump training. It really takes probably less than 2 minutes a day to be beneficial and support for bone density. But I do think that there is some benefit to, getting on a treadmill. I'm walking on a barely incline, and I call it barely, meaning it's I don't do flat. It's always at least 0.5 or 1% incline, depending on the treadmill, because it may not do 0.5. But you always want to do that so that you're kind of adjusting for flat, because otherwise it's kind of nosediving and going downhill. So I'm not up at 7 or 8 or 10 or 15 on an incline. So it's not steep by any means. So I am just wearing it for a little bit of extra work, and I'll actually do it for 10 minutes and then take it off for another 10 or 15. And I may sprint, may do interval sprints after I take the vest off. And then it just feels like you fly because you've had that extra weight. So I do think there's value in them. I think you have to get very clear on what value you think or believe that you're getting from it, and then do something really wise in terms of onboarding. We have a weighted vest challenge for that reason. The way to adapt is wear it inside for 2 to 5 minutes while you're cooking dinner. Then you wear it for a little bit longer, and maybe you start doing laundry, going up and downstairs. And then you finally go for a very short walk or part of your walk, and then you take the vest off, and then you finally go for a little bit longer walk. And you can also use those vests that actually have the little tiny weights where you can put them in and take them out. So you can gradually increase the weight load. But we need to get adapted to that. So if you haven't been weight bearing on that upper body, I want to be careful because you don't know how your cervical spine or your upper back and that area we call the kyphotic curve, where that's going to respond in your upper trapezius. Often, for a lot of women, it's where we hold our tension. So, when you put that weighted vest on, what's going to happen if something is pulling down on it is those muscles are going to go like that and dramatically, right? I'm raising them up and they don't do it that hard, but they do hold the tension the entire time you've got it on. And you won't realize it, but the next day, most likely, if you store tension in your upper back or neck anyway, you may have overfired. So we really adapt very slowly. Over the course of a month, we might increase the time that you're wearing that vest to 8 minutes over, 8 minutes over where you began. So maybe you start with 5 or 10, and then you're increasing like that. So it's just being really wise in what you're doing. Now, alternatively, the other time I wear a weighted vest is when I'm wearing something far heavier and I'm weighting my body when I do lower body exercise at home so that I'm not just holding on to as big a kettlebell as I can, but I'm also using the weighted vest. So I'm really weighting my lower body. I wouldn't walk with the same weight that I'm using. So I use a 20-pound vest for the weighting while I'm just standing doing squats or lunges, but I'll walk with something like 8 or 12 pounds. I don't remember which it is right now, but that's about 10 to 15% of my body weight. And it's comfortable enough, but I do overfire with my upper trapezius muscle. I'm that girl. Even though I know it, even though I know how to depress, it still triggers for me. So I'm pretty careful about not overdoing that. Shanna says, if you aren't feeling well, seems wise to back off of the weights and intervals until you're feeling better. If you do, how fast do you lose the progress that you have made? Great question. So, kind of one of those age-old questions of which do you lose first, the cardio or the strength? And you will most likely lose that cardiovascular fitness first, but it really depends on the sickness, is what I found. So, if you're, sick from here up, it's one thing. But if you're sick from here down, it's another. So if it's really into your chest and you've got kind of a deep, thick cough, is what someone would say, I would definitely not, try to push exercise. It's not that we want you doing absolutely nothing in bed rest, getting up, moving around, but getting plenty of rest is really important. And yet, do we want you doing exercise where your body is trying to already fight? And so that inflammatory response that it's having with cytokines, to the virus or bacteria or whatever it might be that you're dealing with, it's supposed to be doing that and fighting with a little army. But when you exercise, we also cause that cytokine storm afterward. So now we're kind of asking your body to do two very different and distinct kind of things. So that's going to impede the workout you do. It's not all that effective. You were already tired, so it's not going to be that hard to get tired or to fatigue. And then you're impeding your recovery from exercise that wasn't that great in the first place, but you're also slowing down your ability to get well because that inflammatory response is supposed to gather around, circle, the wagon and help you get better. And you've just gotten in the way of doing that. So you do want to take a rest. If you were fit going in to an illness, you will most likely come out of it much faster, but not if you continued to exercise in the way that you did when you were well. So first thing usually for most people should be, just go for a walk. Make sure you feel good coming back, going for a walk, and you don't need recovery. You're feeling good before you start lifting weights and really pushing things deeply into your system. Because we cause a minor inflammatory response, and that kicks your immune system into action after exercise. But if it was already trying to do it, it's not going to do two things really well. It will do both really poorly. And so you could prolong the illness by doing so. You can, that said, fake it. So there's something to be said for, getting in a sauna, right? And we know that infrared sauna, when you're heating the body from the inside, is like signaling your body the same benefits from exercise. It helps your cardiovascular system, helps the musculoskeletal system recover from exercise, and helps skin. A multitude of things go on that's good. And so it's almost like inspiring a fever so your body can fight the infection. So I would, use a bit of caution and common sense and not go in if you actually already do have a fever. But if you're feeling just kind of, blah, not good, that might be a better option. So it's fooling yourself to thinking you got to work out without having to get the real total fatigue from the workout. Valita said, "Well, I stayed in Arizona and I'm reminded why by everyone this weekend." So true. I just got back from St. Pete in Tampa yesterday. So I got up and walked on the beach at 80 degrees and opened my door in like -2 and searched for an Uber outside. I'm like, what door are you at? it was not a nice moment. Ariane said, in the Stronger program, you mention not doing more than the 2 sessions per week, but I've also signed up for the, I think you mean interval program. Can you talk about how one can integrate both and also get one's steps in daily, good, no, indifferent. So yes, we're talking, you're doing the 2 strength training sessions weekly, and HIIT fits in really nicely with that, provided your energy level is good, right? So if you're already exhausted, then we take HIIT off the table and restore before more, because so we can't dig you out of a hole if you're already way in the trenches. So if you feel good, energy is great, you do your 2 strength training sessions and then you stagger your HIITs, on a day when you're not already doing that. So you're coming into them fresh because they're both intense, or should be. Reaching muscle fatigue and reaching breathlessness should both be happening, and you want to come into them fresh so you get the most capacity out of the training. Ideally, walking every day. I don't care what else you're doing, but walking every day. So 30 minutes, just ideal. You can do it at one time. You can break it up into after meals. You do that kind of movement. But walking is just exchange for the times we sit so very much compared to 50 and 100 years ago. So walking is a daily activity. Maybe those walks are longer on the days you're not strength training or doing HIIT. And if you happen to love yoga or something else that you want to fit in, there's room for all of it. And the real question is, how does it make you feel? Your energy should be among the greatest in the room. Of anybody else walking into a room, you should have the greatest energy if you're exercising, because you're exercising to get better, right? Not to get tired. You're exercising to get better and stronger and better at life, not too much else. So, yes, there is absolutely room for all of it. But again, the question for every single one of us, and every week, every month, we have to keep asking, how's it making me feel? How's my energy level? So sometimes you get really surprised by how little it takes if it's the right thing. It's just movement regularly really, really matters. Becky said in the 28-day kickstart, would a cassava or almond flour wrap be a good alternative to flour or corn tortillas? Yes. Yep, you could do that. I think I might have suggested brown rice wraps. Definitely. If I was going to be a purist, Becky, I think I would say I think the majority of the carbs, if we can eat them from whole foods, we'd all be so much healthier. So we still are processing a little bit, by doing a cassava or by doing a brown rice wrap or coconut wrap, depending on your preference. But, is butternut squash or sweet potato or a white potato cooked and cooled potentially a little bit more of an edge? I would definitely say yes. But if you're like looking for what's a good substitute if I really miss, having a wrap or a sandwich or this type of a tortilla, that would be a good substitute. Diane said a recent birthday gift for my 68th birthday from my daughter. She's 47, loves hers, probably used for increased bone density. I think you're talking about the weighted fast. So just realize it's not gonna give you much bone density. So the research is kind of clear that, you're much better off picking up heavy weights and bent over rows and your presses to load that spine. And loading squats and dumbbells or kettlebells, but you could wear that weighted vest for a little bit more load on those hips and lumbar spine in squats. That would be beneficial. And you're certainly helping your skeletal system overall with postural muscle control if you're walking with that weighted vest and really conscious that you are keeping yourself upright. There is definitely some benefit to that. Elizabeth said, you don't do this very often in a video, but can I add a squat to a bent over row with weights in both hands when I'd like to do more? Can you talk me through that? So you want to do a bent over row and then come up and do a squat in between and then come back and do the row. So let me ask why you want to do that. So, if we're strength training, the goal is not calorie burning or heart rate elevation or moving quickly between exercise. The goal is muscle fatigue in order to change the muscle body composition relationship. So, I think that's just where I'd like to talk you through. Like, why would you do that? What would the benefit of it be? And I am going to scroll down. So, Elizabeth, I'm going to let you answer that. And if you want to unmute, feel free to do that.
Okay, I just responded to you, but
Okay.
I didn't know what words to use because when you've done it in a workout, you've done a bent over row, but you're also like lowering your body down at the same time. And then when you go back up again, you lift back up.
Okay, so you're not, yes. So it's not actually a squat, it's just flexing at the knees a little bit,
Okay, flex.
right? Yeah, absolutely. And so here's the reason to do that. Because imagine you're picking up a 40-pound bag of dog food. You're gonna do that. It's just a functional movement, yes. And as long as you're doing that, because the weight is so heavy that you need to, but it's not about, energy expenditure at all. It's about, this is a really functional way to do it. Because if you go to the floor to pick something up, you are going to probably bring it up in a row, but you're going to use your legs to do that. Yes, nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah. Did I answer your question?
You did, thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. Give me one second, guys. Hang on, just scrolling back up. Wendy said a friend who has osteoporosis said she's using a vibrator plate for exercise and bone health. Do you have an opinion about those machines? Who wants to answer for me? Anybody? So, yes. So, Wendy, I have one and we promote. Yes, absolutely. So, two things. Whether you can or whether you can't do everything in the four pillars that would be related to bone density, which are number one, strength training, lifting as heavily as you safely can over time. We know that for the first year, if you are simply between 10 and 15 reps, that up to about 48 weeks, the literature will tell us that you can still increase your bone density. There is a belief that you may plateau after that point if you don't add more load or do something more. Not everybody will be able to safely to do that, but it's not also a guarantee that you will stop. It's just that there more likely is a plateau at that point. Second piece is jump training, getting impact from anything as much as heel drops. That's the first threshold where we're even beginning to get a little bit stomping upstairs to squat jumps, literally leaving the floor, landing hard in an explosive. That kind of impact training also hugely beneficial. Then it's movement. So 300 or beyond minutes of movement a week. And I'm not talking, resistance training aside. So that too, but 300 minutes of movement implies that you and I are up on our feet or we're moving around. And maybe it's just that we work in retail, but we're doing a lot of movement. People who have a lot of movement during their day are resisting gravity in all different kinds of ways, and their spine actually benefits from that. So there's a lot of research that will say even just that is correlated. Now, I wouldn't only do that because we know only walking is not enough. We need to do something else. And the fourth one is yoga has been proven. If you're doing it regularly enough and you're holding those poses just for 30 seconds on each side for right, left, or 1 minute total, if it's just a pose that you're doing and it's unilateral, both sides are working at the same time, those are great four pillars. And then taking care of good gut health. But if you're doing, let's say you're doing as heavy as you can lift and you're doing high impact and you're very active and doing all the things. But even I was doing that and had osteopenia in three places. After 9 months of using the whole body vibration, I reversed all three of those somewhat, one still left in a little bit of osteopenia. And, the other end of the continuum is a lot of people can't lift heavy anymore. They've got arthritis in a joint, they've got joint injuries that start creeping back in if they get over a certain point. So heavy is not an option. Maybe prolapse, joint replacement, no cartilage in the knee will prevent you from doing impact or very much of it. So again, we've eliminated now the two biggest pillars for bone density. That would also be a good, is this feasible? Can you do this? And I would highly recommend it. And certainly for anybody who is older, cannot do heavy or cannot lift at all. They can do something, and within 6 months of either 10 minutes, 5 days a week, or 15 minutes, 3 days a week, bone density is significantly improved in the total hip and the lumbar spine. So it's pretty compelling. And there's a lot of research, not just in bone density, but in other things as well. So, weight loss, lymphatic flow, circulation for those people who struggle, specifically diabetes, where circulation is a real problem. But there are many indications where that can be a challenge. If you have a joint issue, you're not moving as much, you don't have as good a circulation. So they are hugely beneficial. And then for better warm-ups, better cool-downs, greater muscle activation, even if you can do strength training, you're getting 50 micro contractions in a muscle a second, a second. So yes, lots of great things. And I do have a link for those of you that want to save 20%. Let me know. We can drop that into the chat. Catherine said, what would 2 minutes of daily beneficial jump training look like if you have no health limitations? Great question. So if you are, Catherine, depending on where you are, but if you're in the membership, you can go inside of the app and see jump training is there. And we've got clusters of jump training from kind of lower minimal impact to a little bit more moderate, a little bit more significantly moderate, and then bigger, major impact. And that's what you want to do when you start anything. You start with the lowest. Work your way up at, over the course of weeks. So, getting to the highest impact may be a course of 2 months to get there. But anything from the continuum of you're standing and you're going to raise to your toes, dropping down to heels 10 to 20 times, four different sets. So 10 to 20, four different sets. If you're a beginner, that's 10, but still four sets. As you advance, you can work your way up to 20, and then stomping. So literally stomping hard, right? So you're really stomping so that you're making some noise. I'm not going to do it here. I think the house might fall apart. It's too cold. And stepping, so step aerobics, everybody remembers, right? Step aerobics, so up and down, that's along the continuum a little bit further. And sidestepping, ironically, is right behind it, but it's a little bit higher on the continuum. I don't know why that is true, but sidestepping is probably because of the uniqueness of the side stress to the bone that we don't move sideways as much. So we want that different directional plane. Jumping over and back on a line, hopping on one leg and jumping on two, even jumping jacks, and then squatting down and explosively jumping up. And then we build all the way up to something like drop jumps, meaning you're standing up on a stair, maybe the bottom stair at your house, jumping down to the floor with stiff legs because we don't want the soft landing. We want the stiff leg because we want the bone density. And you gradually work your way up. So you might be jumping off of your kitchen chair or a bench in the gym and landing on the ground. So that's kind of a good segue into a whole continuum. So 10 to 20 jumps, four different sets, most days of the week. It takes seconds. So you could do them all at once, or ideally, you do a set, you put a minute between. And do you come back and do another one? You could do some in the morning, some at lunch, some in the afternoon, some in the evening, if you prefer to do it that way. So that's what that would look like. You are welcome. Linda said my hip replacement surgery is scheduled for March 16th. I'm doing Stronger 10. I'm in week five. All is feeling good twice weekly, as well as walking 15 minutes twice weekly, 3 days a week. A little difficult to do with the snow this week, and also doing yoga and stretching, and not sure how to get in any HIIT. Even the low impact HIIT movements in the videos in the membership bother my hip a little. Any recommendations on how I can get in some indoor HIIT in the weeks prior to surgery? So maybe what do you have available to you would be the question. So is there any equipment that you have available? You also you might try static with the hips, but movement for the arms. So doing a little bit more boxing work. It's probably going to be a little bit difficult if you're not able to move the lower body, but Linda, here's what I would say to you. You're doing everything right, right? And you're doing as much as you possibly can. And I would kind of minimize the, I mean, obviously you're getting it replaced, but I wouldn't suggest, okay, well, let's just trash it. We don't care. I would just say do what you can pain-free or as little pain as possible so that we avoid, a backlash or favoring on any other body part. And you go into it as fit and as strong as possible, but also allow yourself to feel like I'm doing enough. I'm doing a lot, doing enough, and I don't have to necessarily do more. So I hope that helps. Ariane, thoughts on protein rice? I've seen a couple different kinds like Kaizen that are marketed as protein rice. Okay, well, I think some of these things are a little ridiculous, frankly. Like somebody's doing a meme on, I can't wait until they come out with protein wine so I can really get going on this whole thing. So I think. Protein is protein. Protein is animal protein. Protein is fish. Protein is, if you're using dairy, that is protein. If you're using egg whites, that's beautiful protein. And egg also has protein, but is actually a higher fat source than just a protein source. Let's just, protein is protein and rice is rice. I would not like to see everything fortified with protein. I know that there are high protein granolas and cereals, and yet when you read the ingredients on some of those things, the rest of the things in there are not that great. And if it didn't have the protein in them, we wouldn't be eating it. Otherwise, we've just all been brainwashed, I think, to believe as long as it has protein in it, that's all that counts. It's all that matters. And it's all that I need to pay attention to. But we often fail to read the rest of the ingredients. And so I would suggest, it's use protein where you need it to bump the protein content of a meal up. But if you are having that rice at a meal where you've got 5 ounces of salmon, do you need it? Do you really need it? Or could you do quinoa instead, which naturally has 6 grams of protein in it? And, there you go. So I think if you really miss pasta, maybe black bean pasta is an option. Or you will find something that's a little bit more modified in terms of lower carb, a little bit higher protein, or you'll decide, I'm just going to do it occasionally because I really miss it. And I'm going to use some protein rich sauce over it. So I think my comment on that is just beware of, protein loaded everything's, and be sure that the rest of the ingredients in that are really worthy of your body's attention. So I hope that helps and was not harsh. Lori said, I tried sheep's milk yogurt. I think the one you suggested in the yellow container, I think that's what caused my nose to break out and redness above my upper lip. Interesting. Have you heard of this being a problem? Doing the 28-day reset. I've not, but I have had breakouts similarly, same places, not necessarily having sheep's yogurt, but I would take it out for a little while. And I know you have to be really brave to want to do this, but I would take it out for a week and then reintroduce it and see if it happens again, just to make sure there wasn't something else that it might have been. And I just would confirm that's definitely what it was, because it happened again twice. But it just may be very true that something about the sheep's milk isn't working for you. And I would test if you haven't goat's milk yogurt instead and see what happens there. Catherine said, I'm struggling with this and I had it diagnosed as perineal dermatitis. Not sure of the root cause, but a new skin problem. Oh, well, that's great. We'll try the goat. Okay, good. I'm not sure I can say that. So if you know the pronunciation, let me know. Elizabeth says, no, sometimes you bend your knees and lower down while doing the row. Yes. So when it's a heavier weight, yep. Carolyn Fogel, no question. Just wanted to say that I am thankful that I stumbled on you and Flipping 50 a few years ago. I don't think I would have been able to do all the shoveling I've done these past 2 days. So we're so sorry. Plus 2 hours, 2+ hours both days without pain or injury, without the training and education you provide us. I also just ate a big bowl of your turkey kale chili. Super yummy. That is one of our community favorites. And thank goodness you can shovel. Awesome. Sylvie said, I have a hard time doing tricep curling over my head by keeping my elbows close to my head. Have any other exercises to replace it? Yes, Sylvie, there's tons of them. So you can do a tricep kickback if you want to. So literally, here we go. In my parka, you can see what I'm doing. Michelin woman. You can do a straight arm. So with arms down and extending this way, the triceps also crosses over the shoulder. So we rarely get that one. You can lie down on your back and do what we call skull crushers with the weights here. And as it suggests, the weights come close to your forehead and then back up. But any of those can be much more comfortable if you struggle with keeping the elbows in. It's nothing you're doing wrong. It's just potentially the way you're built and the connection of your muscles on the other side of your joint is just not allowing the motion. It's the reason, similarly, some of us could never have done squats, or I'm sorry, the splits, and others of us could. It's if your muscle was attached further down on the bone, you weren't going to do those splits very easily. And yet, if the muscle was attached close to the joint, you have much greater range of motion. So it changes things dramatically. Shirley said, how do you know where you have bone loss in certain joints? The DEXA scans I get only test the lumbar and hip. My physician orders a scan that gives three sites. So I would ask, and it may be simply your physician, but generally total hip, lumbar spine, and your forearm or wrist will be tested, and they should give you those numbers specifically. So for those of you who have a DEXA from, say, a DEXA Fit, which is a franchise, all you're going to get is one lump number. You're not going to get individually. So if you come away from one of those, and a big reason a lot of people will go is because they package that with your body composition, that's fairly accurate. But when you get that bone scan, if that's the first you've been told you have low bone density, I would say go to your doctor then and ask for a DEXA medically. A clinically based one, and ask because you want to know where is it? What do I need to be doing to pay attention to this? Because if it's in your forearm or your spine or that total hip, you want to know, should I be focusing on heavy squatting, on leg press if I can't heavily squat safely? Should I be working on my forearm? So actually forearm was one of the was the third place that I still have that lingering. And I needed the power plate to do, some not push-ups, but planks, on my hands, planks on my forearms to directly impact that. So I could only push and pull so much weight, and I was already at, five reps is about as low as I wanted to go. And that helps significantly. So you need to know what is it that I need to pay attention to in order to make the direct link, like, match.com for your exercise for the bone that you want to improve or need to. Yeah, you can. It's odd. And I think every physician, and it may be every clinic, is slightly different. So I've discovered there's quite a few nuances, but I would ask and say, is it possible for me to do this? And if there's some reason they say no, say, well, do you know where I could? I would ask that. Ariane said, I'm loving both. Did an interval today. Tomorrow I do my second stronger. Really loving it. Thank you for explaining everything. Great program. Oh, thank you so much. Referring to the 12-week stronger and the interval program. Yep, I got you. Sylvie said, would jumping, like you mentioned, be bad if you have degenerated disc? It might, Sylvie. So what I would do is consult with who did the x-rays or the MRI and diagnosed that. And I would ask, what are my limitations? What guidelines would you suggest for me? One alternative might be, and there is some research that proves this is beneficial, and there are obstacles here in what I'm about to say, I realize, but jumping in water has proven also to be beneficial. And now you're protecting your back, your spine, the degenerated discs a little bit, but you are also gaining some resistance of the water. So just simply, you'd want to be in depth that is closer to your navel than to your nipple, but navel to nipple depth is ideal. And just to be able to allow you to jump and still use some of the resistance of gravity, but not all of it, and have everything else supported, being able to jump either floor to floor of the pool, or they also put sometimes the same step aerobics inside of the pool, or often the pool will have steps. So jumping up and down to them might be another alternative. And there is some research suggesting that still can be beneficial for bone density. And so hope that helps. Yes. So Sylvie, in your case, with the degenerated disc, the power plate would be something that would be, you'd be a perfect, case for it. So, and I know for everyone here, this is not necessarily across the board something that everyone wants to or can invest in, but look around you because locally in Wise and in gyms of all kinds, I think at one point we would have said this is higher level gyms or nicer luxury gyms, and that's not true anymore. You'll find them everywhere, but you might find them at a rec center, at a local Y, and or if you have a hotel gym, a really nice hotel gym, often they will open up memberships to locals, and they will often have them as well. So look around. Sometimes chiropractors, nutrition shops also house them. So look for them where you might be able to use them as opposed to own one. Laura said I'd be interested in the discount. So the code is, as you might guess, flipping 50, flipping 50. And if you go to flipping50.com/power, I'm sorry, yes, it is power plate, but if you go to Deborah's favorite things on the websites, flipping50.com/resources, you'll see the power plate there and it will tell you the code there as well. But it's 20% off and it's significant. So, and if you do, let us know. We are building inside of the app in the membership as we flip things over entirely to it this month. We're going to build a new collection for power plate exercise, not anything that is meant to exclude those of you that don't have one, just another asset for those of you that do. So you can see it, the rest of you will all be able to see it and learn a little bit more about it. Janine says, I've completed my first 12 weeks, loved it, am ready to move into another stronger option. Only see two that have a start listed. Also, my app doesn't work and I'm waiting for it to figure that out for me. In the meantime, I log in via the website on my phone. Okay, so they should all say start for you. So again, reach out to support Janine at flipping50.com. And if you are a member, it should be working. You should have access perfectly. So either to downloading the phone on iOS or Android and or logging in on in a different device, but it sounds like you're doing it on your phone and want to. They aren't sure what's going on. It's been a few months. Well, it can't have been a few months because we just launched in December of 23rd for a sneak peek. So it's only been a month, right? So it's not been in existence for very long. So a few months since you started, yes. And we just gave everybody the sneak peek on December 23rd. So in terms of start here, you should be able to see any of them that you want to start. And if not, just reach out to them, tell them which one you want, and they can tag you for it. And let's make sure that we get you access to the app. Do you know what's happening for you, Janine? If you can tell them when you reach out to them, say, here's what I'm doing, here's what it tells me. Here's a quick screenshot. If you're going to reach out to them, that helps them know, okay, what's going on? So generally, we have a sister team who's helping us from the tech side of the app platform itself bring people in. And as soon as we switch over 100%, everybody will be there. There will be fewer challenges going on. Elizabeth says, does the Elementi chocolate mix taste salty? Great question. A little bit, but not as salty as the others. Now that you say that, I've had it like for hot chocolate, it tastes more sweet than it tastes salty. So it's very appropriate in a like a warm tea as like a hot chocolate. So not so much. If I already add some salt to my water, is Element useful? So can be. It depends on what kind of salt you're adding, but you're getting all of the electrolytes. But if you are getting like Celtic salt, you're doing a pinch of that. You may not need both if you're well hydrated and feeling like I'm absorbing it. It's not just going through me. And it shows up. Generally, it shows up on your skin, on your face. If you pinch the back of your hand, how long does it take that skin to go back down? Does it bounce resiliently back together? If so, you're pretty well hydrated. If it takes a minute for that to go down, you probably, like me, need to finish drinking this, like stat right now. Pushing your finger into your leg or to your arm where it's a little more cushy. That too, how long does that stay there? Does it immediately go away? And those things will tell you how well hydrated you are. But if you are adding salt regularly, Celtic salt that has extra minerals in it, then potentially no, you don't have to use Elementi. It's sometimes it's a flavor thing for a lot of people, and you're getting a little extra magnesium in it as well. So you're getting that balance of magnesium, potassium, as well as the sodium. I am scrolling, so hang on, give me one sec. Janine, in terms of our developers or troubleshooting, was that in regard to your start here on our website or on the app platform?
That is the app. So I got the app downloaded right away, and it just not does not allow me to log in. I've sent screenshots. It says invalid username or password, and so I've been back and forth a little bit with support trying to figure out. It said the tech team is investigating, and then the last I heard was January 10th. And say they don't have an update. The developers are troubleshooting. So,
Okay. I'll get to the bottom of that for you. Thank you.
doke.
Yes,
Thank
thank you.
you.
Thank you. Right. Anybody else have a question? Me see if I have everybody. You are welcome. Okay. I think I've got everybody. Shirley said I was having similar issue, was told to change my password. That cleared up the issue for me. And yeah, I wanted to say that for anybody who's got an issue. So password and username are not the same as your login at the website. So you have to use the email authenticator and make sure that you're not trying to use the same until you are in, and then if you want to change your password, you can so that they're the same, but they are not the same. We're not yet connected. So it's important that you realize the email authenticator or send me a change. You'll have to do that, but I'm going to guess that you already have. If that's not true, let me know. Okay, I think we've got everybody all set. And all questions answered. So if not, let me know. If you are not yet in the app, please give it another try and follow those directions. So January 8th, I think another week later, we send another one. So it's downloaded. Make sure that if you're been a member and you're not brand new, you are definitely in there by now. So you should be able to, once you've downloaded the app, be recognized. But if you're doing it through your app.flipping50.com, you'll need to go into email authenticator. So your same username and password are not active in there. You do have to just follow those directions that we gave you, and that should take care of it. So you should all have definitely access. You're all in there, but I'm going to double check on you, Janine, and we'll get you taken care of. All right. Have a great night, everybody. Stay warm, but also keep moving. So I know it's very tempting to snuggle up in warm covers and in front of a fire, but resist, resist.